All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, July 16th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had 12 match tennis slate get underway earlier this morning. We also had a 6-match CS2 slate get underway. We had a 5-game WNBA slate get underway as well. There was some League of Legends action today. A ton of early slates like across the board here. We do have the Open Championship teeing off later tonight. We'll be talking plenty of golf today, and then there is some WNBA showdowns still to go as well. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up. I'm going to pull up the golf slate that is coming up here about 9-ish hours from lock time. All right. Let's get SaberSim up. Cool. So a couple questions to get us started today. We will start there and then roll into any questions that are coming in live. First question, in watching strategy videos that have been put out since the new portfolio sims have been available, I've noticed that Jordan's contest selection no longer include 150 max contests. It now includes single and 3-max contests above the $3 entry range. Both of those examples go against previous advice you have put out for profitable contest selection. Has the advice changed due to the evolution of DFS and /or backtesting that has shown a different contest selection to be more profitable? Does it depend on the variance of a particular sport? I would appreciate your guidance on the latest advice. Okay, so I'm not sure. Frankly, I'm not sure we've put out any strategy guides since the release. But when I say like a strategy guide, I mean like, hey, you know, videos and like our how to beat section, you know, like our last how to beat video looks like it was from like June 10th. Some of these other videos that you might have seen recently, like the SaberSim 5.0 lineup groups and portfolios and the portfolio diversifier, and like, you know, these were all released like in July, right? Those videos are more just kind of trying to like show the differences. It's not like, hey, this is how I, you know, recommend playing like every single day. So it is very possible that, you know, Jordan's just like, hey, I'm going to enter a couple 3-maxes. I'm going to enter some 20-maxes and, you know, kind of showcase the difference that way. Now, as far as, you know, contest selection advice, right? Something that I've been recommending people do more is actually look at the ROIs achievable in the contests that they're considering playing and use that as like a primary input into whether or not you should play that contest or if you should max the contest, right? Like, hey, you know, this contest is a little tough. Maybe we want to put 10 lineups instead of 20. Maybe we want to put 20 instead of 150. Maybe we want to put 50 instead of 150, right? It's a number of different ways to think about it. So like, I'm going to go back to this July 11th MLB slate here, right? And, you know, for instance, like if we sort by fee here and we go like bottom to top, like, okay, let's go and look at like a quarter jukebox. Like there's like a one, you know, main quarter jukebox at like 11,000 entries. Let's look at that one really quick, right? I come in here, I go to users, I sort by people who max this out, sort by sim ROI. So sim ROIs here are pretty good, right? Like 25%, you know, plenty of people above 20%, right? So like, this is like a decent edge contest. You know, there's plenty of edge in something like this. Okay, you know, I would definitely be playing that. Okay, well, what about like the $1 150 max? It's like half as many entries as the 50 cent mini max. You know, how does this one shape up, right? And again, these are contests under $3. I would always, like, for however long they are available to you, I would 100% play contests under $3. Like, the best players in the lobby don't even see them. That will always be good contest selection advice there. But now we're talking about getting more granular, right? We're talking about the contests under the $3. How do you differentiate between those and figure out which ones are the best to play, right? Okay, well, I'm looking at this $1 150 max. So I'm going to go and look at people who are maxing. I'm going to sort by sim ROI. You know, there's one person in double-digit sim ROI, right? But then there's, you know, it's much more likely you're in the single digit. So can you be profitable with this contest? Like, yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, there's some edge to be had here, but it's not as big as like some other contests, right? So like, okay, if I have $150 and I'm trying to decide what I want to do, well, you know, this contest doesn't have the most edge. It has some edge. So maybe I want to do something, you know, maybe I want to go and like look at the four seamer, for instance. Okay, well, let's see like what ROIs are here. And generally they're a little bit higher in this contest, which is why I'm picking it. Spoiler. Okay, entries 20. Sim ROI. Okay, look, sim ROI is here, even touching 30%, right? But still a lot of 20s, right? A lot of double digit. Maybe I take the $150 that I was going to play into the $1 150 max. I put 80 of the dollars into here, and then I go and put the other $70 into the $1, right? Now I've allocated money outside of the $3 cap here, but I've also allocated it to contests where sim ROIs that are achievable or higher, while still also saving some to play the contests under $3. So this is generally what I've been recommending. We haven't done any additional backtesting or projects since the profit plan that would lead us to change our contest selection recommendations. But, you know, I mean, hey, I don't know too much about, you know, what Jordan's bankroll is and stuff. I know he's been a tennis grinder like all summer long. You know, maybe his bankroll's growing, right? When your bankroll grows, sometimes you do have to start playing contests above $3. And that's a good thing, right? If you are tackling all of the good contests in the low stakes, and you still have bankroll left over, well, then, yeah, you know, you're going to start creeping your way up there. So I hope that is what Jordan is actually doing. All right. Good question there to get us started. Next question. Can you go over how to do contest flashback with FanDuel? What is the best way to make sure your process is solid over there? Okay. So I did respond to this one in Discord, but I did want to mention it here on the show as well. So, with regard to FanDuel, we do not have contest flashback just up front. And the reason for it is because FanDuel does not allow us to download their contest data as a CSV. And that is what DraftKings allows us to do. And that is basically how we are able to support contest flashback, pull in all the lineups, you know, summarize all the information on a user level, put it through the sims, and so on and so forth. So without access to that data, we cannot provide the same tools, unfortunately. So that's why we don't have flashback for FanDuel. As far as like, you know, things that you can do, right? I think that in general, sports play similar across sites. Now there will be differences, right? Like, hey, on DraftKings, you can stack 5 players, but on FanDuel, you can only stack 4 players. Yeah, you know, there are differences there, but that doesn't mean that correlation is less important on FanDuel, right? You should still be trying to play well-correlated lineups. You should you know, player distributions are going to be the same, right? What's changing is the scoring system, right? So where a player gets, I think, 2 points for a walk on DraftKings, they get 3 points for a walk on FanDuel, right? And then I think like a single is worth like 3.2 on FanDuel as opposed to like three. I think a double is worth like 6.2 or something like that as opposed to like five. So all of like the baseline information, like how many doubles this person has, how many singles, how many stolen bases, all of that is the same between the sites, right? Both sites are using the same game sims. They're all taking our data from here. And then we're just applying different scoring systems to the data that we get. So that basically is my way of saying that you can probably look at how good players are playing on DraftKings and draw conclusions about macro lineup aspects that you want to apply on FanDuel. Like, hey, if everybody's playing, you know, four and five stacks on DK, I should probably for sure be playing like a four stack, you know, on FanDuel, right? And that's just like one simple example. And maybe that's not the case, but you could look and see and, you know, kind of get some ideas from what good players are doing. Other than that, the only other way I could think of, which can be really tedious, but I mean, hey, if you're trying to make money, you know, you could do this. It's like you could actually study FanDuel lineups, right? You could like sit there and like scroll and figure out like, okay, you know, pick like a player, you know, pick like Giant Squid. Okay. You know, what do his lineups look like on FanDuel? You actually like track it by hand. That gets super tedious, but you know, how far do you want to go? So those are just some ideas about ways to analyze FanDuel lineups. You could pick a player, right? Like, okay, I'm going to look at Squid stuff on DK and then I'm going to go look at his stuff on FanDuel. How similar is it? How different is it? If that player is in your contest, right? But I think, you know, there are a number of players playing across sites. Sometimes they have different usernames, so it makes it a little tough, but just spitballing ideas here. All right, next question. How do you set the setting to build the optimal single entry lineup? And then this one, we could probably group these two together. What filters and rules do you recommend to change to get close to first on PGA and MLB? All right, so since MLB doesn't come back until Friday, I'm going to take this and run with PGA. So we have a question about single entry lineups, and then we have a question about PGA. Let's talk about both together here. So why don't we go back to today? And then let's talk some single entry golf strategy. Okay, so let's go DK. All right, so we don't have any lineups here. That's perfect. All right, so I'm building lineups for today for golf. I want to come in here, and I want to start analyzing this, right? So we did a little bit of a golf demo yesterday. I'm going to do another one today. And first thing we did yesterday is we went and checked the weather report. And we noticed that there were some interesting things going on with weather, right? So at the conclusion of yesterday, Kevin Roth here said he was going to do an update prior to at some point today. And it looks like that update is up. So let's check it out. Okay. Thursday a.m. winds around 10 miles per hour early, climbing to 10 to 15 miles with gusts to 20 miles per hour by late morning. Showers and storms are possible. Thursday p.m. winds over 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Scattered showers and storms are likely. Winds may die down a bit. Friday a.m. winds 10 to 15 with gusts over 20. Scattered showers. Friday p.m. winds dip a bit down to 10 miles per hour or less for most of the afternoon. Scattered showers. Weekend, messy pattern. Chances of rain continue. Winds look to be higher in the afternoon than the morning. Overall, it looks like a Thursday a.m. slash Friday PM build might help you cut through some of the wind on both days, but the weather here can be very volatile and it's not a lock. Okay. So kind of a messy situation here, right? A lot of like uncertainty. And if, you know, things don't come in like exactly as expected, you know, can make like your edge kind of disappear. But let's say we wanted to favor, you know, this PM, or we wanted to avoid the Thursday PM, Friday AM wave. And we kind of wanted to target the Thursday AM, Friday PM golfers, right? What I could do is I could come to my build and I could go to rules and I'm going to add a new rule. And what I'm going to tell the builder is that, you know, there are six players in a golf lineup, right? Okay. So what I'm going to tell the builder is, hey, I want to favor golfers in the better wave. And the way I would do that was by guaranteeing that I have more of them in my lineups, right? So I'm going to have at least four players from this good wave and then leave two other spots open. Those golfers could be from the good wave as well, or they could be from like the afternoon and, you know, we're willing to play up to two max, right? So what I would do is say use at least four, leave group buy unchecked, don't touch it, go to add requirements, and then go to tee time is before, and I actually don't know what a good tee time is, so let's check. Okay. And what I'm doing here is I'm basically just like scrolling, looking for like a big gap. Okay, so earliest tee times are 6:35 a.m. local time. This is all local time, by the way, from what I could tell. Okay, so there's not like a very clear distinction between like afternoon and morning. So what I would try and do is like just probably pick a section where there's like a little bit more of a gap. So like here, right, it looks like there's about 21 minutes between like Leishman and Graham teeing off. And a lot of these other windows are like 9 minute windows, 9 minute windows, 11 minute windows. So this 21 feels like a little bit of like the halfway point here. And, you know, based on my scroll bar, we're like about halfway down the page. So I'm going to pick 11:30 as my time slot here. So use at least four. And I'm going to say tee time. I'm going to say before, right? Because we want to favor the morning golfers. So then I'm going to say before 11:30 a.m. Okay. Then I'm going to save that. I'm going to increase min salary slightly here. I'm going to build less lineups and I'm going to make two small adjustments to projections. And I'm going to click build. All right. So while this runs, I will be right back. Actually, maybe not. No, yeah, I'll be right. All right, so these lineups just finished and our pool has loaded up. So we have 5,000 lineups. Let's say we're building 150 lineups here. Our contest sim ran already. That's great. We're sorting by ROI. I do want to switch over to portfolio mode. So we'll let the diversifier run. Okay, and then we will come in here and sort by exposures. So we're about set up here. One thing I might add is in my group, I do want to turn on this ROI filter, ROI greater than zero. I probably would have put this as part of my template, but didn't do that. Okay, so just a quick note here, because this one trips me up. Notice our pool doesn't change and no lineups go in the trash. They basically go in the trash for this group only. So if I hover here, I could see that I have about 2,500 lineups available and about 2,500 in the trash. So the filter moved half of my lineups into the trash, okay? Now I'm going to scroll over. Okay, I can see my average projection, my average ROI metrics. Not super concerned about... Oh, wait, we said we're building for a single entry. My bad. All right, so we're building for a single entry. Okay, a lot of these other steps would have been the same up to this point. Now, if you're building for a single entry, it's a couple different options. Number one is you could do all the things we did, and then you could take the top lineup, right? If you're like, hey, I don't have a lot of opinions, I want to trust SaberSim, cool. You know, take the top lineup. If you want to look and you want to, you know, kind of sift through this, a couple different options. Number one is you could just go to the pool and you could just look at the highest ROI lineups descending and pick one. You could also look at, you know, the top, you know, 10 portfolio lineups, right? And say, hey, you know, these lineups complement each other the best. And then, you know, maybe pick one of those if that's something you want to do as well. So I would decide, if I had to pick, I would probably do this portfolio option personally here. The portfolio lineups are going to be like a nice, good mix of lineups that are different, but also like similar EV. The high ROI ones naturally are going to have a little bit more of the same combinations of players. And you could see this by just looking at like the exposures here, right? So like in this example, we have ROM in 70% and then no one in more than 40 with portfolio. If I switch back to uniques, see how this works. We have 100% ROM. We have 80% Hovland, 60% Grazerman, 60% Fitz. Like you get a lot more concentrated, right? This one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 golfers over 50% owned across 10 lineups. And portfolio has one golfer over 50% owned across 10 lineups, right? So it has ROM and then it's very, very spread out. So if you're looking for like a nice spread of lineups to kind of analyze when you're trying to pick your single entry, I still think portfolio is a good option. So then what I would do here, right, is I would look at these if I have opinions, you know, kind of look at like, hey, you know, what is the salary? What is the projection? You know, do I like these guys? What's the ownership? If I have opinions, right? If you don't have opinions, then I would honestly just take the top one SaberSim gives you. You know, maybe there's a certain golfer you like that's not in your top one. Okay, well, maybe he's in, you know, your third one, right? Maybe you like JJ Spahn because he won the last, you know, major tournament and you think he's going to do good again. Okay, great. You know, this one has Spahn. It has, you know, the take that agrees with me. It's third ranked, still pretty high up, and I can take that one. So a lot of these other things that you do are very, very like personalized and, you know, trying to get to a lineup or set of lineups that, you know, match what you're trying to do here. And there's a lot of different ways to mess with this, right? Maybe you really like this lineup, but you do not like Sepp Straka. Okay, I'm going to click the pencil icon. This looks broken, but I'm pretty sure this is Sepp. Okay. No, it could work. Sally. Okay. Maybe I like Aaron Rye instead of Sepp Straka. And then I save it. See if that works. Oh, I think I changed Spahn out instead of Straka. My bad, but it did work. So, looks like there is a bug here with the display. So I will make a note of that. But at least putting players in and out does work. So we were able to get rid of Spahn and put in Rye. So there's options here. But for building single entry lineups, for talking about, you know, we were talking about some rules you could use. We were talking about some filters you could use. And this is how I'd be building lineups for the Open Championship tonight. All right. We are all caught up with questions here in both the chats and Office Hours channel. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Good luck in your golf tournaments this weekend. I will, by the time I talk to you all next, the tournament will be in full swing. So looking forward to it myself. Until tomorrow, take care. Good luck, everybody. Thanks. Bye.